He had all the hallmarks of conceit endemic to Rubra's tragic proteges. Horgan was proud and lonely and foul-tempered. A lanky youth with dark Asian skin and giveaway indigo eyes, if his chromosomes had granted him the muscle weight to back up his narcissistic personality, he would have been involved in as many fights as the young Darriot. Naturally, he admitted no surprise when Kira, stroke Marie, confided her attraction to him. A girl like that was his due. Kira and Horgan stepped out of the stairwell onto the 68th floor vestibule. Darriot felt the monitoring routine flood into the apartment's stratum of neural cells and interrogate the autonomic routines within, reviewing local memories. This was the crux. It had taken him 2 days to modify the apartment's routines. None of his usual evasions had ever had to withstand examination by such a large personality subroutine before. It was virtually sentient in its own right. There was no alarm, no bugle for help to Rubra's principal consciousness. The monitor routine saw only an empty apartment waiting for Horgan. "They're coming," Darriot told the others in Anders Bosport's bedroom. All three possessed were with him. Ross Nash, who rode in Bosport's own body, a Canadian from the early 20th century. Enid Ponter, from the Australian ethnic panic Geraldton, dead for 2 centuries, who occupied Alicia Cochrane's mortal form. And Klaus Schiller, possessing Mansa Baluzzi's body, a German who muttered incessantly about his Führer and seemingly angered at having to take on an Asian appearance. The body was now markedly different to the image contained in his passport fleck the day he disembarked from the Yaku. His skin was blanching, jet-black hair streaked with expanding tufts of fine blonde strands, the gentle facial features shifting to rugged bluntness, eyes azure-blue. He had even grown a couple of centimetres taller. "And Rubra?" Enid Ponter said. "Does he know?" "My disruption routines have worked. The monitor can't see us." Ross Nash looked slowly round the bedroom, almost as though he was sniffing a trace of some exotic scent in the air. "I sense it. Behind the walls there's a coldness of heart." "Anstead," Darriot said. "That's what you sense. Rubra is just an aspect of him, a servant." Ross Nash made no attempt to hide his disgust. None of them really trusted him, Darriot knew. They were strong enemies who had agreed a precarious truce because of the damage they could each inflict on the other. Such a standoff could never last long. Human doubts and insecurities gnawed at such restraints, chafing at reasonableness, and the stakes on both sides were high, accelerating the devout need to see treachery in every hesitant breath and wary footstep. But he would prove his worthiness as few had done before, entrusting them with not merely his life, but his death as well. It was all so absurdly logical. He needed their awesome powers of manifestation, and at the same time retain his affinity. Their power came from death, therefore he must die and possess a body with the affinity gene. So simple when you say it quick, and completely mad. But then what he had seen these last few days defied sanity. Horgan and Kira entered the apartment. They were kissing even as the door closed. Darriot concentrated hard, his affinity strumming the new neural routines, alive with a delicate harmony of deceit. The image of the twined figures was incorporated into one of them. An elusive fallacy, generated by a misappropriated section of the habitat's neural cells, massing 10 times that of the human brain. Small in relation to the total mass of the neural strata, but enough to make the illusion perfect, giving the phantom Horgan and Kira weight and texture and colour and smell, even body heat. The sensitive cells registered that as they started to tug each other's clothes off with the typical impatience of teenagers in lust. Most difficult of all for Darriot to mimic was the constant flow of emotion and feeling Horgan emitted unconsciously into the affinity band. But he managed it, by dint of careful memory and composition. The monitor routine looked on with tranquil disinterest. There was a split in Darriot's mind, like alternative quantum cosmology histories, 2 realities diverging. In one, Horgan and Kiera raced for the bedroom, laughing, clothes flying. In the other...